Let me pray. Father, we come before you, and I thank you. I thank you for your church. I thank you for your church gathering throughout this world. Father, I thank you for worship, and I thank you for the worship this morning, and I thank you for just the reminders of how good and holy and merciful and just and kind you are, that truly our goal would be to have Jesus, to just have Jesus, no matter all of these treasures and things of the world, Father, that you would be our primary heart's focus and desire. Father, we love you, and we come before you and ask that you would enable us to love you more. Father, we want to serve the church so far, so often we are very inept in doing that, Father. Open up our eyes, our minds, our hearts, and just enable us to hear your will, to serve you, and to love you more and more. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you would turn to 1 Thessalonians, I too had the privilege of traveling this summer, and I dragged my children off to some of the national parks of our country. And we went to the Grand Canyon, we went to Zion, and to Bryce. Now, 33 years ago, I walked down the Grand Canyon and went to the bottom and stayed and camped there. And I wanted my children to see the Grand Canyon that way, from the bottom, looking up. So we got there, and we hiked down, and we only could get reservations down on the bottom for one night. So we hiked down to the bottom and stayed the one night. It was really a wonderful, wonderful trip. But I must say, in the last 33 years, the Grand Canyon has gotten a whole lot steeper. It was difficult. Now, my children made it out pretty well, but my wife and I, we struggled. This was not an easy trip. But we went on from the Grand Canyon, though we couldn't really walk very effectively. We left the Grand Canyon and went to a park in Utah called Zion. Now, my son and daughter, my wife a little better, but my son and daughter tend to sleep pretty late. They don't get up really early. I tend to get up very early. So I got up in the park, and I didn't want to wake everybody else. We were staying in a lodge. I didn't want to wake everybody up. So I grabbed my Bible. I went out, and I started hiking up the road in Zion National Park in Utah. Came to a rock, and I was going to do my morning devotionals, and I opened to the book, and I had finished another book earlier, so I opened to the book of Thessalonians, and as I started to read through this book, I started to think of Chinese Evangelical Mission Church of Central New Jersey, and that this message was for you, that this message from 1 Thessalonians would be for you. And so, in the weeks that I come back, what we will be doing is going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. The beauty of God's creation is truly, truly amazing, you know, what you can get to see. But so much more would be to seek and to see God Himself, the maker and creator of all things. This church in Thessalonians, this letter that Paul wrote was a letter written to encourage this new church whose desire was to follow Jesus. This was a good church. Thessalonica was the capital city of Macedonia. It was a free city, meaning they were not under Roman law. They were governed by themselves. There were 200,000 people in Thessalonica at this time, which made it a fairly dynamic city in the old world at this time. When Paul started his second missions trip, he and his team first went to Philippi, and then they came to Thessalonica. And this is where we'll start in verse 1-3. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to imagine, and this is going to take a little bit, some imagination here. I want you to imagine that I have an easel, okay? That's not so hard to imagine. Then I want you to imagine that I can actually draw, okay? That gets to be a little bit more of a stretch here. That there would be a rock on the bottom, and that rock would basically be Jesus Christ. He is our rock, the foundation of the church, that the rock would be here. And then there would be three pillars. And the three pillars I was going to draw in like a triangular formation. And on the top of those three pillars would be the church. And those three pillars would be faith, love, and hope. For that is truly what the church is built upon, first and foremost upon Jesus Christ. But then faith, love, and hope. The book of Hebrews 11:1 tells us a little bit about what faith is. Now, faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. You see, our faith, when we as Christians, our faith is not a blind faith. Our faith is directed towards a person, that when our eyes are fixed upon Jesus, he is the author and perfecter of our faith, the rock on which we can begin to build the church. Our faith will produce work prompted by love. You see, anyone in the church just starts to work because it's the right thing to do, or because it seems like a good thing, or there's a need. You will run out and you will burn out really very quickly. But if it's prompted by love in Jesus Christ for what he has done for you, then that is a foundation that you can continue to move upon. Not love for work, but love for our Creator who loved us first. It will also produce hope, both for today and a future, our future yet to come. You see, we are a redeemed people. We are saved by God's grace. Our God is alive. He is personal. He is real. He is active in our lives. He wants us to know him more and more. Because he lives, our hope is assured. It's not some far-off hope. It's a reality hope. Because he lives, we are his children. We are not our own. Thank God. Thank God that we are not our own. Because we were bought at a very high and precious price. We were bought with the very blood of God. We were bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins. Now, I must confess that I've been watching the Olympics more than I would like. I stay up later than I should, and I'm watching this stuff, and I don't even like beach volleyball. Okay, but it is interesting. I find it interesting. But I'm watching the different Olympics, and as I was watching some of the things, I started to think of a movie that I could recommend to you. And the movie that I could recommend to you is an old Olympic movie, and it's called Chariots of Fire. If you've not seen it, it's a worthy movie to watch. It's about two runners, and they were going to run the 100. Eric Liddell actually wound up winning a gold medal in the 200. But it was about the race that they were going to run. It was the 100-yard dash. And it was about two runners, Eric Liddell, who was a Christian, whose parents were missionaries in China, and this guy, Abram, another name that I can't come up with it right now, but Abram. But here was the Christian man over here, and he knew what he was running for, he knew who he belonged to, he knew what he was about. And then there was Abram, and they were talking, and Abram was talking about getting ready to run this 100-yard dash, and he said a very profound and sad statement. He said, when I get on that line, I have 12 seconds to prove my existence, to prove why I live. I have 12 seconds to show what I can do. Where Liddell was saying, no, that my existence is based upon who made me, who loves me. Not about just what I can perform, just what I can do, just what I can achieve in this world. You see, we as Christians, our existence is based upon our Lord and upon our Savior. Take a look at 11:4-6. For we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you, not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you. For your sake, you became imitators of us and of the Lord. In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit. Before I was a Christian, I read the Bible. I read the Bible, and it just didn't make sense to me. It just, you know, I read it, I didn't find it overly exciting, I didn't find it overly, you know, anything. I read it for the words, I felt it was probably a good thing to do, but it just didn't move my heart. When God moved my heart, called me to Himself, in each one of us, there's a different way that the Spirit moves, and moves us to the truth, that this is truth. To the truth of His Word, then this Word becomes alive, and we can see God in His Word. We can sense God speaking to us in His Word. And then when I read God's Word, I could see His communication, I could sense His Spirit moving and working within me. How does God's Spirit move? I don't know. I don't know. I only know that He does. I only also know that God's Spirit works through His Word. God moves as we begin to proclaim His Word to others. You might not see fruit from that. You might speak to someone about God's Word and it seems to come back empty. I can only tell you, it does not. It will not come back void. Continue to speak God's Word in love, because you just don't know how the Spirit will move and open someone's heart to the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Take a look at verses 7 and 8. And so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia. Your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it. Whether you know it or not, this little church gathered here today, people are talking about you. Who are those people? It's me. I speak of you to my home church, to my students, school, in different ways, and I see this little church as a model for the Christian church. Why is that? I see this as a model for other churches because of how, and I believe God orchestrated this out of necessity, but because of how God moved this church to empower young people. Young people in this church know that they are needed. They know that they are valued. Why did they know that? Because if they weren't here, there wouldn't be worship. If they didn't get up and collect the offering wouldn't be collected. If the young people of this church weren't active and motivated and involved in this church wouldn't exist. That's a great model. That's a great model for the church out there. You know why? Because there are many churches much larger than yours that the young people feel very not empowered. They feel very not connected to the church. They don't feel the necessity of serving God, because really, everybody else seems to do it. Everything seems to work fairly well without me. So they don't, and they pull away, and they pull back. You see, God wants us to serve. God wants us to know that we are valued, A, by Him, but you're also valued by the church, by this church body. So I do speak of you as a model for other churches. But how do we build the church? How do we build this church from here? How do we build the church, which is the body of believers? By following the model that Paul lays out for us in God's Word. Build the church on God's firm foundation of grace and of peace, which Paul prays in each one of his letters that he opens it. Take a look at verse 2. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. Pray. Be thankful. Be a thankful people. Be thankful for the many, many, many blessings that we have that we, me, so quickly take for granted. Be a thankful people. Learn how to pray for those that God is bringing before you. Learn how to pray for the church. Learn how to pray for your elders, for those that God brings in your path. Begin to pray for individuals that God will put on your heart. And as you begin to do that, you will see God move you in specific directions that will be His plan for you. Be a thankful people. Pray for your leaders. Pray for your friends. Pray for those whom God puts on your heart. Verse 3 basically is telling us, grow. Grow. How do we grow spiritually? We grow in faith, trusting God for what He has done, trusting Him to do what He has done in the past, He will do even more. Grow in our faith by reading His Word. Grow in our faith by serving. Grow in our love. Grow in our love for Jesus Christ. Grow in our love first and foremost for Him, because that love will enable you to love others. You will have a desire to reach out to those around you. Grow in hope. How? By seeing God work in your life. Seek God's will and His inspiration, and work with all His strength, not your own. Do serve God in the church. Now, I am speaking to a church that really works very well, that seems to serve really very well. But I ask you this day to start to think about another step. Start to think about another step. And that step is the model that Paul presents to us. The model that Paul presents is that he would go to Thessalonica to reach out to the Gentiles beyond the synagogues where he was comfortable, to let his light shine in a place that didn't understand faith, didn't understand love or hope. And unfortunately, that's our world today. That's Central Jersey. Does Chinese Evangelical Mission Church of Central New Jersey have a plan to reach out in love to the community? Find out what that is. Find out what that plan is, and find out where you fit in that plan. You could begin by explaining to people the meaning of the name of your church. Why do I say that? Well, it starts with Chinese. Is this only a Chinese church? And the answer is no. It's God's church. What does that mean? Begin to think about that. Begin to wrestle with that. Chinese evangelical. What does it truly mean to be an evangelical? You see, in the world out here today, that doesn't have a very favorable name. It is, because it's the gospel of peace and hope and love. What does it mean to be one who shares the gospel with others? What does it truly mean to be evangelical? And unfortunately, in fairness, there are some people that have misused that word and abused it. So that's a word that you really have to identify and understand what that means. What does it mean to be a missions church? What does it mean? Does it mean that you just give money and send people to China or send people to different parts of the world? The answer is, oh yeah, some. But that's not fully what it means. You see, in the book of Luke, in Acts 1:8, Luke explains to us what mission is. And what missions are, in many ways, it starts like a pebble. Like if you have a nice pond and you throw a pebble in, pebble will create ripples, and it creates ripples. And what missions is truly meant to be is to start in Jerusalem, and then to Judea, and then to Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. That doesn't mean we have to go to Jerusalem, but it does mean we start where we are. If you are in Edison, if you are in East Brunswick, if you are in Piscataway, wherever you are, that's where your mission journey begins. And then it goes out from there to the ends of the earth. Mission starts where you are in your school or your neighborhood. Pray for opportunities and boldness to recognize those God wants you to speak to. You who are Chinese, you may very well have an opportunity. And the opportunity that you have, people may ask you, why are you a Christian? Being a Buddhist or something else is far more exotic. I mean, it's far more different. It's far more interesting in many respects. Why are you a Christian? What a neat question. What a great question to answer for yourself. Why am I a Christian? What makes me a Christian? Believe in Jesus Christ. Certainly it's God that did that. But how can you communicate that to others? Again, I go back to the Olympics, and as I watch, there's not much talk at this Olympic event about the growing church in China. And I've listened for that. I've seen the different specials and going out to the different, into the different areas. They're really not talking so much about how God is moving mightily in that nation of China right now. The only one that I heard actually even address it was George Bush when he was talking, when he was interviewed, when he was there in the early end. He talked about the growing church in China and how, what a blessing that is, because when you give people the chance to worship freely, that then God will move through that. Now, it's very accurate and true, but there's not a lot of words about Christian God working in China. There's a lot of history, there's a lot of this, there's a far more peace to China right now. God moving in many ways like the book of Acts. God calling many people through the power of His Spirit to faith and trust and hope in Him. God moving Christians to step out in love, in hope, in peace. So there's a great story there. Let your... How else can we serve this church? Students where you are, parents, and I now speak of myself, parents, encourage in love and in discipline. Have patience with your children. Parents, I can only tell you, when school starts, it's hard. The stuff that your students live through on a daily basis is not very easy, from their homework to the workload to the pressure of school to the pressures put on them, you know, within their junior high schools, within their high schools. Their life is not easy. Don't think we can just pile on other things on them. Sometimes we must, but their life is not easy. It is not easy being a kid right now. It is not easy being a young person in a culture that is very, very alien to the teachings of love, hope, and truth. God's teachings of these, you know, great truths. So parents, I urge you, and I urge myself, because I got bugged at my daughter this morning, I urge you to have patience. I urge you to have patience with your children. Let your faith and words and actions be a model for your children and to those around you. You see, Paul was willing to share not only his faith with people, a good and right thing to do, to hand out tracts, you know, to speak, you know, of the gospel, to really go out there and proclaim God's word. That is a good and right thing to do. But honestly, it's not enough. You see, Paul's model is he not only shared the word of God, but he was willing to share his life with others. Paul went and spoke and listened. And he didn't just, here's the way to heaven, where are you at? What are your needs? How can I participate? How can I serve you? And Paul's model is one of not only sharing God's word, good and important as that is, but also sharing his life. And very often, as we're willing to share our life with others, people will ask you, why? Why? Why are you willing to help me? Why are you willing to do this? Why are you willing to go out of your way? And the answer is, for God loved me first. You see, Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven for people such as us. Jesus Christ was willing to give his life on a cross so that we could have peace with God. It's an amazing story that Paul had to tell some 2,000 years ago. And Paul, very graciously, in this book of Thessalonians and many other books that he wrote of the New Testament, was able to pass this on to us. And that's our role now. We must pass this story on to others. I urge you, do not get trapped in your church. You have a good church. There's a good body here. Reach out in love to others. Reach out in love to others. Understand what that means. Perhaps partner with other churches. Perhaps do many different things. First and foremost, pray. Pray how God would lead you to reach out to others. Pray how God would lead you to serve him. And then become imitators. Become imitators of Paul. Paul loved. Why? Because he understood that God loved him first. And that makes all the difference in the world. That we now have faith. We have love. We have hope. But all of these things are a gift. It's a gift from God. And God says, give them back out. Don't worry about the results. I'll take care of the results. You just give them back out in love. Praise God. I praise God for this church. I praise God for the model that you are. And I pray that over these weeks and months ahead in this, which I call a new year, when school starts, I always consider it a new year. In this new year, that you will reach out in love to those around you.